Oh, bloody hell, I just found a pack of buttons.
And hello, good afternoon, good evening, good welcome one and all. Welcome back to the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast, Directionless Commentary Special. We're going to get there in the end, almost at the 50th anniversary special. We're making it up as we go along edition. I think that's everything. You join us at a time of great, great strife in the world. Apparently the royal family have never had a disaster like this since the last one. And still no one's talking about Prince Andrew and pizza.
I can't wait until the end of the year where she'll inevitably call it her Amos Horribilis again, just so we can all say Amos.
Hey, it's exciting times for the world of satire.
I mean, it's going to be an Annus Horribilis, sir? Is it Horribilis than last time? Well, I mean, the Daily Mirror today reckoned this is the worst thing that's happened in 85 years, which is actually the abdication of Dudar and Watsit. And that does kind of imply that this one interview with a mainstream presenter in America is far worse than the death of a member of the royal family in a tragic accident in a Paris tunnel, which Philip may have or may not have arranged.
He's listening to this from his deathbed.
Yeah.
He's listening to this and he's just stuck you on my list.
My car's not going anywhere for a long time, so I feel quite safe. The bomb will have just rotted away quietly before I have to move my car again.
There's some good breaking news as well that Pierce Morgan has left GMB.
Yeah.
About half an hour ago, and the way that you said that as breaking news, I thought you were going to say that breaking news that Pierce Morgan is something else then. I genuinely thought...
Something else that would cheer the nation up, perhaps.
Well, he wouldn't be getting a Bill Nye letter carry something for half.
I think rather unfortunately... This is just his way of getting out of his contract so he can go to
GB News. The
British, GB News, the British version of Fox News, because, hey, we need one of those. In amongst all this bubble, you've been hearing voices, and those voices are, of course, the Unsalted Popcorn Crew, as they are frequently referred to in the blurb, if you ever bother to read it. Which means over on that side is the lovely Laura. And over on that side is the lovely John, and Morgan may or may not be peering around the corner.
Hello, Morgan's off looking for something. She'll be back in a moment.
The meaning of life, her homework.
Well, I mean, I'd prefer if she found the latter.
And we are almost now at the end of Matt Smith's reign as the Doctor, and... To show you how important this is, I have paused my watching of Interior Design Masters to find out what happened in Doctor Who. For those of you who care about such things, they're currently painting beach huts in Walton. I know, it really is quite grippingly crap television. It's great. Right, so where are we up to in the grand scheme of things?
May 2013.
And this is the name of the Doctor. Is this where the big bad finale thing all sort of begins?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of glossed over and mentioned in the sparingly during the 50th, but yes. It's really a two-parter with a movie in between.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good point. Speaking of two-parters, what a segue. It's almost like we wrote a script. We are doing a... Let's call it a double episode special, even though it's not really, because we are doing the name of the Doctor, and then we are going to follow this up, and we will send out the link. You'll need to find the link on the Facebook page and on our Twitter account to watch along with us. The Five-ish Doctors, arguably the best Doctor Who adventure starring Sylvester McCoy.
Yeah, mate. You know, I'm sorry. I'm Pierce Morgan in it.
Damn you! I was
going to
make that joke.
Wait, can I ask a question? What's worse, the last two podcasts, the Doctor Who wins the last time, or the Royal Family scenario?
I'm lost for words. That is such a great question. Answers on a Twitter. Answers on a tweet.
Can they condense the everything that's happening right now into a two hour film so we can just watch that and then we can compare the two? That's the only way we can compare.
Well, I'm guessing current events will be the script for The Crown, the movie.
Morgan bringing some real life into the podcast there by asking the questions that people want answered.
Yeah, that's finger on the pulse. That's asking the questions that matter. That's absolutely fantastic.
Whatever the answer is, the Rings of Akatan.
That's always the answer. No matter what's going on, that's always the answer. So, having gone through arguably the worst episodes of our run so far, I don't want to say the worst Doctor Who episodes ever because it's a subjective thing. There's bound to be something else that's bad.
The worst Doctor Who episodes ever so far.
Exactly. And someone somewhere will always have something that is almost certainly worse than ever. So, you know.
We've got Series 8 to go, yeah.
Exactly. I have a feeling we are doing the Sherwood one.
Are we? Oh, God.
Well, if we were.
Right,
and if we aren't, we are now. I'm putting it in the list just to see if it works. But this kind of feels like.
John's only doing this so he can get himself a lucrative position over at GB News. I'm desperately trying to think of something culty which GB could possibly stand for to complete this joke. I'm really struggling.
Oh.
Oh, fuck yeah!
That's BG, but.
BG News.
BG News.
You know, we ought to start a DW News channel. If only to help that poor bastard in America who keeps asking people, is there a Doctor Who schedule, even though we all know there isn't one.
DW News is a German news outlet with 500,000 followers on Twitter.
Oh, we can piggyback that then, no end. Well, if you can't trust official German news, what's going on with the world? Right, because we're going to be shoehorning in a modern classic and this episode, I suggest we gather our thoughts and get ready to hit play. Are we ready, chaps?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's get ready for a good episode.
Is it the best episode ever?
It's the best episode we've watched today so far.
Can't ask for more than that right now. In that case, dear listener, cue it up, get ready for The Name of the Doctor in 3, 2, 1, and play. And it suddenly turned into an episode of whatever that Fixing Things program's called.
Was that our shortest ever preamble before an episode?
No, we've done shorter.
I think we have done shorter. That came in at around 12 minutes.
Yeah, but 8 of that was about the Royal Family.
Yeah, that's true. Now, that's kind of interesting given what it sets. Oh, that's where it comes in. I thought that this happened in a different episode.
No. This is where it wraps up the whole thing. Let's be honest, Series 8 is all Danny Pink, isn't it? So this had to be wrapped up.
Oh, of course, yes. One can't forget Danny Pink.
And of course, we do get to see a clip of Sylvester McCoy's best story coming shortly.
In just a second.
Yeah.
What, the Five-ish Doctors?
There we go! Hooray! Sylvester McCoy.
But
that tunnel, which Clara just ran through, that's the same tunnels used in Night of the Doctor. That's the same little corridor used.
Yes.
When, the Doctor's about to die and escape into the TARDIS, but doesn't. Well, that'd be interesting to
it watch. Does kind of feel. Oh, God, it's a leaf again. It does feel a little bit like. A bit too forced second time round. I remember thinking at the time, oh, I like what they're doing there. They're knitting her into the timeline and it's all very clever. But you're looking at it now. Again, you kind of change your view when you're watching it over a condensed period of time like we are. But it just feels a bit too forced now.
It was building up to November.
It felt forced when I watched it the first time, so...
I was obviously in a much kinder place back then.
Yeah, I'm just not...
I noticed that Clara doesn't appear during the bloody Candyman.
I almost now want Clara to be retrofitted into future stories so we find out she worked at Kablam.
the thing about this is people that didn't like Clara, i.e. everyone, including Jenna Coleman's mum, hated her. She thought she was the worst. I'm sure she liked her daughter as a person, but hated the character. But everybody was really annoyed by this kind of Stephen Moffat self-congratulatory, look what I've done. I've done this, I've done that. Exciting stuff. Look at me. Clara's now in every Doctor Who story.
I think there's an element there of Doctor Who fans don't like their writers and showrunners being too clever.
I don't think they like the show.
Well, we've discussed that before, and I think that's almost certainly the case. But yeah, I do feel sometimes that the Doctor Who fans have to be the smartest Doctor Who people in the room. And the people running the show and writing the show aren't allowed to know as much as them and understand as much as them.
Yeah. But the reason for that is so that when the writer does something wrong in their eyes, they just say, oh, well, that can't happen because of episode 3 of The Moon Base. And you're like, fucks. You know?
I do.
And again, you know, Stephen Moffat's done here. Arguably, I think, does as much of a job rewriting this canon that they believe that Chris Chibnall's destroyed than anything Chris Chibnall did
in
season 12. Twice, you know, he's basically put Cara in every story. Cara? Who the hell's that? Cara in every story. Cara's also in every story, but you won't find out about that till season 15.
To be honest with you, I'm not totally sure what Liverpool's famous defender can add to all this, but if it gets him off Sky Sports, I'm in.
Pierce Morgan's looking for a job as well.
Well, we currently are desperately in a central defenders. If he's got a spare pair of boots, he can get to Budapest by 8 o'clock tomorrow evening, he's in.
I do like about Strax. I know people don't, but
I like Strax a lot. They do some interesting, fun, lighter stuff with his character in a very straight, deadpan way, which I think really works.
Unfortunately, just killed off any chance of the Sontarans appearing for the next 20 years in any kind of threatening form.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Well,
big finish will do something like that.
Yeah, but you see, you say that, but then all it's going to take is Chris Chibnall completely destroying the Doctor Who canon, and he can do it. It'll be fine. We'll just write Strax out of history, and we'll just go again.
Oh, yeah, Strax is the timeless Sontaran.
Oh, yes.
That'll get them.
The impossible timeless Sontaran.
Potato child? I mean, there's lots of ways we could go with this.
How did you know my nickname for Scott?
I was just about to ask, that's about the Eddie Murphy film, isn't it?
What is that another one he's going to remake in 20 years' time?
The Potato Child, yeah. I can't wait for Meet Dave 2. I saw that at the cinema. That was numbskulls the film, but awful.
No one should ever go and see an Eddie Murphy.
It was on one of those, come to the Odeon on the Monday, we won't tell you which film you're going to be watching.
Oh,
Mystery Movie Monday, go in, pay £2. It could be something which isn't out for 2 months, as happened a couple of times. But no, it was Meet Dave with Eddie Murphy. One of the worst films I've ever seen. And I sat through it.
Just horrendous. I got tickets to go and see, I can't remember what film we were meant to go and see, but there was a problem with it. And so because it was some festival thing or a promo thing or something, So that rather than getting the film we actually wanted, they gave us Sunshine with Cillian Murphy and Danny Boyle.
Oh, okay.
And I'd seen the trailer for that, and I didn't want to touch it with a barge pole, so I left. And I'm now worried that I might possibly have missed a really good film.
I've still never seen it.
No, I haven't, and I keep meaning to watch it, and I keep forgetting.
Okay, let's just mention, which I've never picked up on before, Kavarian says, open this letter on the 13th of April, 2013, as if they thought that's when this episode was going to air, but it didn't air until 18th of May. That's interesting. I had not noticed that before.
Did something bad happen around that time to bump the episode? Was a royal person being interviewed in America?
Stephen Moffat usually doesn't drop the ball with that. He's usually quite good again, kind of finale's
as we discussed before, when I thought I was right, but I was wrong.
I don't ever remember a time when you were wrong when you thought you were right.
Oh, it does happen occasionally.
Was I off that day?
You were here. It was about the date at the end of season 5.
Ah. Oh. I'll have to go back and listen.
It was a week ahead, but it wasn't.
Well, this does feel a little bit like... It's very hard to make drinking tea exciting. And it feels a little bit like they're trying to sort of create drama and tension around a cup and a saucer.
Well, they were trying to show a wee bit of animosity between Clara and River there.
You know, we've always...
This is literally the only time they meet, so they have to have some kind of animosity.
Yeah. You know, we've always said that River's got chemistry with everyone on screen. I take that back.
It's just Clara. It's like that whole point we were making during Bells of St. John. It's just like she's meeting someone for the first time, and it's like she's automatically antagonistic, and that makes you hate the chemistry, that any chemistry they have.
Yeah.
It happens every single time.
It's really weird because I usually generally like people that go out of their way to be antagonistic to people for the first time.
Well, you're Scottish, is what you're used to.
Yeah. Indeed.
I mean, it's interesting that they didn't... I wonder if they sort of tried to make her character a bit, when they introduced her properly, sort of edgier and grumpier and defensive, which is why she did that every time she met someone new, which is awkward because you meet someone new every week in Doctor Who.
Trends a lot.
What? Am I talking over something important again?
Yeah. The whole trends a lot.
Trends a lot.
Well, I remember thinking that, we'll get to one mention in it because I'm doing spoiler alerts for future stuff. So I won't mention it again. Well, I will mention that again, but I'll probably mention it.
Mention it in 17 weeks' time when we get to that episode.
And then proceed to forget to, like I constantly do, and then about 6 weeks down the line go, I didn't mention that bit I was going to do.
So it'll suddenly get mentioned halfway through an episode of Frasier or something.
Yes. Do you remember that time when... I worked with the guy that used to do that with comebacks. If you said something sarcastic to him, he'd wander off, and then 20 minutes later he'd come back and say, do you remember earlier on when you said such and such? And then he'd give you an absolute zinger of a comeback, and we'd go, oh, okay.
Well, you can't beat that, can you?
Yeah, that's it. It's just kind of...
Most people would just go and kick themselves that they realised the funny thing they were going to say and go, oh, well, never mind. It takes real balls to go back and go, right!
Do you remember when? Absolutely. We should all be more like that, maybe.
Unless you're Piers Morgan, in which case, don't be like that.
Sorry.
Which, of course, there is now a clear link between going from Doctor Who episodes to Frasier episodes.
Piers Morgan?
Well, him as well. The final episodes.
The final episodes have got...
Richard D. Grantman.
Oh, right, okay. Sorry, I was actually stuck in Piers Morgan.
You were, weren't you?
One wants to be stuck in Piers Morgan.
Nobody does.
Well, Meghan Markle apparently definitely didn't.
We're not talking about you, Morgan. But I said Piers Morgan. Morgan, who's actually watching the episode like we're supposed to, said what?
Oh, bless her. Well, she's actually, Morgan has delivered one insightful opinion of the whole thing, so she can take the rest of the evening off.
She has.
Is that the only period where, the only moment where the Doctor uses Dalek as an alternative to cunts? Or any other swear? We don't know what word the Doctor is going to use there. I just assume cunts.
Can you not say that word anymore? I might have to tick a box.
Is it the only time though? It's not a recognised alternative Doctor use, is it?
No.
To be fair, we have used another synonym for that word multiple times in this episode. Just because he left GMB.
That's true. I'm drinking synonym at the moment.
Surely there was another word for it.
We're not exploring these avenues. I do not want to have to do any work. I mean, as it happens, our audience are very erudite and astute, and they understand such language in the context of which it's delivered and will not be offended. I would if I knew how to. I don't know how to insert a bleep. If I don't insert a bleep, I've got to take the word out, and that then cuts the thing down, and we'll be out of sync with everything that's going on screen, and we'll get moaned at. I mean, Christ, we've got moaned at enough by having to stop the start and go back and start again.
I forgot that was a thing.
And then John got accused of not being Scottish enough.
This episode was released, the season 7 box set was released in America 2 weeks before the episode aired.
Was it?
It was. Oops. So Moffat had to do a thing saying, don't reveal the spoiler. At the end, don't reveal the spoiler. I'd forgotten that was a thing.
I didn't even know that.
I do remember that Children of Earth was released, when it was a 5-day event. They released the Blu-ray on the Wednesday, and everybody went online and said, I can't believe they killed Yanto. The day before he died on the early. Apologies to anyone that's not seen Children of Earth and didn't know.
I did not see that spoiler, so I wrote a bit. No, it's fine.
It's Children of Earth is the Torchwood thing and not the terribly tedious film with Clive Owen, isn't it?
It is a Torchwood thing.
Right. Children of Men.
That was
based on a book by P.D. James.
Yeah, the film is just so bad and so boring.
Weirdly, though, could potentially have the same plot as the Torchwood episode. It does have...
Yeah, it does.
It does have that ring to it.
Yeah. Yeah, that has a very similar lines.
Here we go.
I always felt he never quite did that well, did he?
I think that's the point.
But I mean, it's a bit 60s Star Trek-y bad.
I just think it's clumsy.
Yeah.
I'm in a position to do a direct comparison, given how much I'm watching of this and how much I'm watching of 60s Star Trek at the moment. And that's done very well, but every time he gets jolted by the TARDIS, it doesn't look convincing.
I don't mind it.
It's ruined everything for me, and I'm leaving now.
I expected more of Trenzalore.
Well, I was going to talk a little bit about that.
The issue we've got is there are spoilers about Trenzalore and what it used to look like, which we're not going to get to for a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
But this version of Trenzalore, with one exception, I was very disappointed by.
Yeah. I mean, where is Trenzalore? Is that in the Kent. West Country near Devon?
Yes, Kent.
Kent, that was it, yeah.
Everything is in Kent.
It sounds like it's an anagram of Lanzarote. I'm not sure. I just want to check that out now in my head. I'm just wondering if Stephen Moffat just couldn't think of the name of a planet, and then just decided to do an anagram.
It's close.
It really is, isn't it?
I was thinking, he recently watched The Two Doctors. There's a Centauran in this one.
It's one fewer letter. It's what there's an extra E in Lanzarote. Oh, sorry, in Trentalor. In Trentalor, if Trentalor didn't have the E on the end, it'd be perfect.
So hang on, are you saying that you can get E in Trentalor?
Basically, he went to Lanzarote and got an extra E. That's what we're saying.
No wonder it sort of just looks like that. He's just having a bad trip.
Yeah, there's just an extra E in
Trentalor. That's why it's quite huggy. Just because he's constantly off his face on E.
I do like the burnt out TARDIS-y look. I don't know it's wrong, but I kind of like the horror of it looking damaged. Because you realise how important the TARDIS is to it, all of the everything, and seeing it.
Can I go?
Yeah, it's brilliant and scary and terrifying, wonderful. I told you there was a guy who made one, a life-size TARDIS. He was looking to sell it for $4,000, didn't he? The Dalek got bought by a restaurant in Norwich.
I thought there's two A's in Lanzarote as well, so you're left with an extra E and an extra. Yes, I'm still doing this. And an extra R.
It's a funny joke, but it doesn't work.
It's funny how when you deconstruct jokes to see if they work, they don't.
Yeah.
It's really weird, isn't it? That's why I tend to write bad jokes to begin with. Then there's no one cares to deconstruct them to find out how shit they really are.
How did River end up getting buried on the same planet?
Because she dies here?
Or she doesn't.
We don't know
the
that.
Library, which was the name of the episode, if you say it very quickly.
She paid someone to take her there?
She always wanted to go to Lanzarote.
Yeah. It was in her will that was have to be her final resting place.
Sam.
Stop talking in rhyme.
I haven't got the time.
And it won't work if I mime.
just because you've got nobody around to say, oh, look at me, I'm the great intelligent. Oh, what makes you so intelligent? Because I'm a rhyming gent? Yeah. No.
That was gent. Just to clarify, that was gent.
We've already got some boxes to tick.
Is Strax wearing like an 80s suit with the shoulder pads?
He's a butler.
Strax as a butler would be great. Jehovah's Witnesses would never call back.
Yes, I don't know.
I just wish these had got the suspected spin-off. I wish they had. It would have been awesome.
Big finish.
That's your answer.
Telly,
that's your answer to everything.
On telly, it was due to be on telly and then got cancelled. Or it was rumoured and then got pinned.
It was cancelled. Cancel culture strikes again.
I know, years before proper cancel culture.
Was it cancelled because of the gays?
It was originally Grant's gaze right there. That gaze he's just giving right there.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah. There were too many gays. And gazes is. Just... Or was it cancelled because potatoes objected?
The potatoes. They objected because they did not find it very appealing.
Right, I'm going, I'm leaving.
I don't think we even need to deconstruct that one to find out how bad it was, do we?
I was just thinking the Strix and Bastra on Big Finish, they probably prefer that because they could just probably sit about just in a T-shirt and stuff, no need for makeup.
John, can you stop doing the Piers Morgan thing? Because we know why Piers Morgan did that, because of the whole Palace versus Meghan. And we don't want to talk about the Palace. There's no reason to talk about King Edward. That was a long way of getting on.
That was the scenic route to the punchline, wasn't it? That was a long walk through the garden.
Prince Albert.
Out of interest, are they...
What?
I'm going to talk about the episode for a second, for which I can only apologise now. Are they wearing stockings over their face, or is it CGI?
Both.
Oh, okay.
CGI stockings.
Of all the things to say, tell that to the Sycorax. You could have said anything there before the Daleks and Sidemen.
No, that's one of those sort of...
Tell that to the Sycorax.
That's kind of one of those dismissive... sayings.
It's dismissive. Let's say something from the current Doctor's run.
Yeah.
Tell that to the Candyman.
And just like that, Richard E. Grant was gone. Oh, or not.
He's back again, it's fine.
I'm sure these are definitely rehashed sets.
Doctor, you terrible... I won't do it like that. Richard Griffiths ever in an episode of Doctor Who?
No, but he was supposed to be the Eighth Doctor.
That's right. I knew there was a link there somewhere. Yes, that's right.
And if it came back for a series in 1998, Sylvester McCoy was supposed to regenerate halfway through the series and become Richard Griffiths. So,
that's right. I remember. So I knew that there was something there.
So you're telling me that a chef turned crime-solving investigatory person could have been a Time Lord.
Yep.
How about a pie-in-the-sky idea?
In an alternative universe...
Come on! No! Come on, that deserved more!
In an alternate universe in 1998, the Sun had the news headline, "Who ate all the pies?"
Honestly, I managed to get round to that punchline and no one cared.
Is it Naked Gun 2 or Naked Gun 3 he's in?
It's 2. Yeah.
With the tattoo of Whistler's mother.
Yeah. And when Leslie Nielsen goes along the balustrade outside the building and it ends up hanging off a buxom young lady.
What I'm getting at is that, so that was the point where he was a big enough name to become... semi-protagonist in a, not protagonist, like a bit player, but still what would be considered now, I suppose, a major Hollywood parody.
Yes.
And then went on to Pie in the Sky, I think.
I thought Pie in the Sky was before Naked Gun.
I think you're right, actually, because, what's his name, Kevin Bishop, who I did the Kevin Bishop Show on Channel 4, and some impressions and not very much else, was in an episode of Pie in the Sky back in the late 90s or early, sorry, the late 80s or early 90s, and I can't remember which. That's what confuses me, because I'm thinking, like, Kevin Bishop's like a year older than me, I think.
I don't even know who Kevin Bishop is.
Is Kevin Bishop not the boy in Muppet Treasure Island as well?
Is he really?
I think so.
Should I know who Kevin Bishop is?
Bloody is.
Wow.
He's Jim.
Yeah. No, he is. When Richard Griffiths died, it was actually me who told Kevin Bishop that he died.
Oh, that was nice.
Don't ask the circumstances behind that.
That was nice of you.
I know. It's just like, I brought it, just like... You were in an episode, weren't you? Pie in the Sky. You were playing boy number three.
I'd actually forgotten that Richard Griffiths had died.
Stealing cakes.
You forgot he died?
I'd forgotten he died.
That's why he's not in the last couple of Harry Potter films.
He is in the last couple of Harry Potter films. He died in
2013. I thought he died before the last one came out.
No, he didn't. It was 2013. I remember the circumstances and where I was and why because of what I've just said. So yeah, it was 2013.
You do realise that now...
It was actually, you know what? It may even have been either a week before or a week after the episode that we're currently watching, which is why I'm going to have a look.
You do realise that I'm going to have to press you for more details at some point. You've just left too much dangling there now.
28th of March, it was before.
Ah. I never felt Richard E. Grant was evil or mysterious enough for this.
Finding the snowman, possibly not for this, maybe.
Yeah, I think the snowman...
They'd already taken away the human form. I mean, this is supposed to be Magneto channeling Richard E. Grant or vice versa.
Yeah.
Effectively from where we last saw them.
I just felt he was more evil and more nasty in Snowmen than he is in this. Here he just kind of...
Well, there's an element of frailty in the Snowmen as well because he was basically abused, wasn't he, by the great intelligence?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then started doing this whole kind of thing I didn't bring it up at the time, but I did enjoy his whole possessed thing with basically just doing this.
I kind of feel like he's just
a puppet. This is my visual way of telling you that I am a puppet.
Yet again, working wonders in an audio medium.
Imagine that there's a string. There's a puppet. Oh God!
Are you being?
What's the word I'm thinking of? Who controls puppets? The
puppet master.
A marionette? No, that's what the puppet is.
That's what the puppet is.
Yes.
A Geppetto.
Yeah, imagine Geppetto.
Puppet master.
Yeah, puppet.
I was thinking puppet master.
Puppeteer.
Arseholes control puppets. Rod Hull. You are Rod Hull.
Yeah, I was being Rod Hull, but without any new or the need to go and adjust the television area during a storm.
Being Rod Hull sounds like if they couldn't get John Malkovich in and they were really...
Oh my God, can you imagine? Oh my God, why did he die before that film came out? That would have been beautiful.
Oh, that would have been...
Rod Hull would have been perfect.
That would have been such a good film. I have to say, the inside of the TARDIS as a greenhouse looks really nice.
So basically, what's going to happen is the TARDIS is going to redesign itself around the Doctor, who is in charge of the TARDIS when the Doctor inevitably does actually die. So basically, this is confirming Alan Titchmarsh.
Yes.
As the Doctor.
Oh, that would be superb. Dropping down on alien worlds, redesigning someone's garden without them asking for it, pissing off again, being grumpy to people. It'd be great.
They could really have just done insert villain here for this episode, really. It doesn't even matter. It's a great intelligence. You could have just had anybody in messing with the Doctors.
I think it's more the case of this is the 50th year and we need someone in the finale with a fucking massive profile. Hello, Richard E. Grant.
Yeah, I think there is a large element of that, without a doubt.
I mean, I'm assuming that they won't do anything this scale for the 60th in a couple of years' time, but they will try and get somebody big in and they will again choose someone.
Who, Christopher?
Christopher Biggins, that's
awesome. Oh, yeah, that'd be wonderful.
So there was a misunderstanding in the production office. Someone said we need to get someone big in. Someone else wasn't listening properly. Christopher, it's your time.
Why would you the Doctor's just got into Bessie and driven away. Why were the Great Intelligence just stand there? Puncture a tyre. You've got rid of the Doctor now.
I have, totally. I did have...
We don't actually see Richard E. Grant killing the Doctor in any of these scenarios, which is what this is supposed to be implying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did have a thought, because the 60th is only 2 years away. I wonder whether Jodie's going to hang on for that.
It's possible. Imagine if they actually managed to hide that as a secret until the actual episode.
Yeah. This is it. I wonder if she's going to... Because if you're 2 years away from another massive landmark thing as the Doctor, you're not going to really want to pass it up, are you?
The product. All eyes are on the product when that happens.
Yeah.
So my counter to this is the worst thing you want to do is get everybody watching the 60th anniversary with everybody thinking, oh, will the Doctor regenerate? And then you bring out Chris Marshall. That's not what you want.
I thought we agreed it was going to be James Dreyfuss.
It's not that time yet.
Oh. Yeah.
It needs to be Ardlo Hanlon before you do James Dreyfuss.
Oh, of course it does, doesn't it? Yeah, good point. But, of course.
That theoretical fourth series of Father Ted, where Linehan went all in on the transphobia. where Father Dougal got replaced by James Dreyfuss. I mean, that was the start. Then we've got my hero, Doctor Who, is just a finale.
So actually,
first.
You then, of course, you do have to have Chris Marshall, because Chris Marshall naturally regenerates into Ardal O'Hanlon. That's that's just the natural order of things. I've just realised that fourth series, of course, was actually going to be called Sister Ted. Oh, it made me chuckle. I thought it was funny. Is there anything happening in the episode that we need to care about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Clara's about to go and do her thing.
Well, oh, so yes.
What happens when you're rewriting history, but it's fine, it's Doctor Who. Nobody ever complains about that.
Yeah, that would never come by to biting us.
No.
River's just, what will happen? She should have just said, because she clearly doesn't like Clara. Doesn't matter. You'll be fine.
Yeah. If I jump in there, will I completely disintegrate? No. I'll hold your coat. You're fine. Off you go.
I'll hold your coat.
I'm a very chivalrous person of the 80s. That's what we used to do back then. We held people's coats. It was a simpler time.
The stars are going out.
Again.
On a completely separate note, I was wandering around a garden centre at the weekend and Stars by Simply Red came on the radio.
That was very unrelated.
Totally, I just thought I'd put that song in your head, make you suffer.
No, you've actually put Fairground in my head, so fuck you. You
put Fairground in my head as well.
Yeah, but is that better or worse?
No, it's on a par of on the all-time worst songs. When that album came out, I was ill and off school in 1995, and that advert came on repeatedly, and I fucking hate Simply Red at the best of times.
See, I remember Stars because a guy we were at sixth form with got the local radio to play it to his girlfriend and made sure everybody knew that it was going to be on the radio and it was going to be played. So we all knew that she would know and be excited, etc. and so on. The thing he didn't know was that she was seeing about four other people behind his back, which we all did know.
Okay, so, that's
quite funny. So we all got quite a lot of fun out of that.
I think this episode gets quite a lot of fun out of repeatedly reusing old footage and then reusing that same footage again.
Yes.
But this time with Jenna Coleman.
This time with Jenna Coleman. What I thought.
Off we go. Here we go. Soufflé time.
No, you're supposed to break the fourth wall.
That's actually quite a nice Christmas tree. They could have marketed that. You know, we were saying about how Matt Smith got old very quickly. His head got a lot squarer as well.
Yeah.
Did he get it trapped in a TARDIS door or something?
His chin's a bit less prominent, strangely. Mm. In my head, his chin was like. Massive.
Doctor Who and the Massive Chin. Which was a 70s episode that had to... was a 70s story by Dr. Zeus, but they've decided not to publish it anymore. Oh, if you get a second, by the way, track down Last Week Tonight from the weekend, because he covers Tucker Carlson going all in on how horrendous cancel culture is. And he uses and all the Dr. Seuss books being cancelled, and it's all horrendous and awful, and this is what made America great. And he's wrong about several things, including the book he chooses to use to illustrate how wonderful and wholesome Dr. Seuss is, isn't one of the ones that they've stopped publishing.
Yeah.
Well done, Tucker Carlson.
Oh, the Dr. Gitsy River all along. Even though she's dead and in a computer simulation in a library millions of light years away. But I do love that bit.
Yeah. Thing is, if he can see her in that moment but no one else can, that must look really weird.
Hence
that is referenced.
Yeah.
I the more I watch of this, and I've always liked it, the more I do come to the conclusion that River was one of the best characters they came up with in modern Who.
Yeah, I was like a fan.
We do still have her. We do still have her finale to go, so.
Oh, we do, don't we?
It's only about 16 episodes away.
Hey.
I feel like we ought to do some sort of impressive thing for the anniversary of when lockdown began, because that's kind of what started all this. The lockdown started 23rd of March.
Yeah, no, but when we started doing this.
We were about a week later, I think.
24th. Right, okay, yeah. Having enough of lockdown.
Yeah, I've had enough already, let's do something else. That's also not the costume he's been wearing up till this point, is it? Has he been dressed like that the whole time?
He changed in the battles.
Yeah.
He changed in the battles.
That was it.
At this point, we thought that was the last we were going to see a River, and everyone thought that was a pretty good ending for her. And it looked like there was going to be no more River.
No, but we got a better ending.
We did. Yeah. Much better.
We actually got a better ending, which never ever happened with Stephen Moffat. So what the fuck is that about?
No.
I reckon Alex Kingston wrote it.
Oh, here we go.
Okay,
so the first time you saw this spoiler, what's about to happen, your thoughts?
I was very excited.
Yeah.
And I'm scared to keep mentioning because it's not appeared on screen yet, but I thought that he was going to be the main antagonist of the 50th anniversary.
Mm. I thought immediately it was obvious which Doctor he was going to be. Because by this point, everyone was making a big thing that we were still missing that one regeneration.
Yeah, the regeneration between, well, what we expected, the regeneration between Paul McGann and Christopher Eccleston. Yeah. Everyone, you know,
So we were expecting maybe this was going to be, I didn't recognise that one. Oh, it's Paul McGann as the Doctor appearing at the end of this one here. There you go, we're going to fill in the gap for you.
But instead, but again, you know, people say that this was just Stephen Moffat wanting to finish all of the Doctor's regeneration cycle before he left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look, continuity there, people. That's the same leaf.
although there will probably be people online that have examined both leaves and said, in fact, not.
No, actually, I think finally vein structure is completely wrong.
That was clearly a leaf from the North American maple tree, whereas in the previous episode, it was quite clearly a Western European sycamore. I may have possibly seen that thread at some point. Well, I don't know if it exists or not. It's going to exist somewhere, isn't it? Followed by the Big Finish book about leaves. The Big Finish book of leaves. That's what we need.
A leaf in time. The leaf of time. The leaf of time. It's there.
I recall, because I think I tend to avoid spoilers by not paying attention. Yeah. And I don't think I knew this was coming.
I didn't
know it was coming.
And so when this happened, I remember being blown away and being genuinely excited.
And we got a good resolution to it as well.
Oh, we did.
What was going on? Why did everything come together for the 50th?
Just because to show he can do it when he fucking tries.
I know. It just meant we had to go through the whole of Series 7, let's be honest. Yep.
Yep. But again, it comes back to what we said before, that he was so invested in the 50th that most of Season 7 just got completely forgotten.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That mirrors the Doctor, Carrie and Amy through the asylum.
There's also a huge sort of metaphor for Season 7 there, that the Doctor is Carrie and Clara.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, I was so giddy by that.
God, I've just got chills.
Totally.
Yeah, no,
I just got chills.
I remember at the time having chills going.
I was like, I just get chills from something that I've seen repeatedly, and
because it's just done, because it's just done so well. Because the other thing as well, at that point, I don't know how well it was known of what was coming and what was going to happen. But in my little news void bubble, I genuinely didn't know if he was going to be the next Doctor or what they were going to do with him. And it was just so exciting and edge of the seat. And not only because it was this twist I hadn't seen coming, but it was John fucking Hurt.
Which is his full name?
It is, totally, yeah. John Christopher fucking Hurt, I believe is his full name.
Yeah, it was... You didn't know what it was, but I remember watching it and thinking that he was going to be the primary villain for the Day of the Doctor, and it was going to be being held accountable for what he, you know, because it was quite clear from the kind of monologue that Matt Smith said there, that he was aware of what he'd done, and that it was a previous incarnation. And the only way that could slow in, really, when you rationalised it and thought about it, was if John Hurt was a regeneration that they haven't mentioned in between Paul McGann and Christopher Eccleston, which then got you excited thinking, were there more? And then also got you thinking, well, he's no longer referred to as a Doctor. Is this guy... We know that he does something that we consider to be very villainous.
Yeah.
In terms of ending the and it was just but I didn't know. I had no idea where the Day of the Doctor was going to go, and I just thought, wow, that was fantastic.
It was. It was such a great, great ending, and it, in a way, that kind of carried the whole episode, because it's not the most gripping of episodes. It's got issues. It's got problems. It's got too much Clara. But that final bit with the silhouette and then the turn and the way it's shot and framed and everything is just smack you in the face. Brilliant.
Yeah, the whole thing was designed just to get you to that point.
Yeah.
And they got to, because it's the 50th anniversary, they also got to throw in that whole nostalgia trip of seeing all the Doctors briefly and blah, blah, blah. And it really was a bit of a MacGuffin of an episode.
Yeah.
Is it possible? Just yes. Going back to one certain episode from series. That the reason why Turn Left is held in such high regard is the ending and the whole bad wolf appearing and all the signage around this alien planet. Is there a chance, because big endings can sometimes raise up better episode, worse episodes, like yes. Rory getting killed,
yes,
like, and then getting sucked into the crack at the end of an episode, a really tedious episode. Is there a chance that my nostalgia for both this episode and Turn Left is based entirely on the ending?
I think there is a strong case to be made for that, certainly, because if nothing, in a way, it's kind of the way stories work. If you tell a story well, you're building to a point, and you'll remember clearly the last thing you heard in connection with that story. So if you're building to a fantastic ending, that's what will lock you in emotionally. And that's what I think gives you such a strong connection to those stories, that you remember how you felt at the end.
I'm just saying, Utopia is another one. Utopia is basically just like, we're at the end of the universe, Derek Jacobi's here, it's lovely. And then, holy fuck, it's the Master!
Well,
and yes, that's what we remember, and it leads into the finale.
Yeah.
I think absolutely with Utopia, I agree, but I do genuinely think that Turn Left is a good episode, and it's
good. That's right. What I was hoping that you would say, because I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Really? Really? Oh, you don't mention that very often. I didn't. I did not know that.
I have not mentioned it first on stream since the episode.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I think I mentioned it.
You mentioned it a couple
of weeks ago. Yeah. I mean, it gets mentioned almost as often as Big Finish. I think I just realised actually, Turn Left is almost your veganism, in that you don't mention it that often, but everyone else mentions it for you. Right, on that, we are going to pause for 10 seconds to queue up the next episode, and then we will be back to talk you through and explain what the hell we're doing with the Five-ish Doctors. Do you know what I realised today is I have no idea what the President of the United States of America thinks about the Harry and Meghan interview. And
it's weird, isn't it?
Beautiful. It's amazing.
isn't it weird, considering what's going on behind the scenes is probably just as bad in different ways than was going on a couple of months ago. But the fact that we don't know about it,
yeah,
is reassuring as fuck.
Yeah, totally.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm quite happy not knowing what he thinks every waking moment of the day.
Yeah.
Right now, he could be tunneling for oil in the middle of Yosemite National Park with the bones of Native Americans, but he's not telling everyone about it, and he's not busy being a racist, so I'm kind of okay.
It's why the more someone with prominence uses Twitter, the more terrifying they are coming back to Piers Morgan again.
Exactly. Who, of course, was a good friend of Trump's.
What?
And probably still is. Right then, chaps. So, after the, oh, let's be kind, high drama of the name of the Doctor. By the way, his name is Bernard. That's Bernard Doctor. We are now moving.
Dr. Bernard.
Dr. Bernard was such a good show. Played by Thingy from Blackadder. We are now moving on to the Five-ish Doctors. Now, I'm aware this thing exists, but I kind of forget why.
Okay, it was to get all of the living Doctors involved in the 50th in some way.
I mean, one of them was going to be involved anyway.
Which is why, spoiler alert, that person is not in this episode very much.
But yeah, it does kind of, because that kind of sort of struck me when I was watching it again the other day, that you don't get the Doctor you're expecting to get in certain scenes. You get the previous one. And that just struck me as slightly odd.
No, I think this is just wonderful.
I mean, I love it. I think it's real good. It's really good fun. And after a lot of season 7, it's what you kind of need as a palate cleanser, just to sort of remind you that Doctor Who could be fun.
You do. To make sure this link that you sent me worked earlier on, I did watch the first minute or so, and I'd totally forgotten that there is a Coleman and a Pertwee in the opening scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally, yep. And that's one of my favourite things about it, is the in-joke within that bit as well. Mm-hmm. Should we talk about it a bit more, or should we just dive in and talk about it as we go? Which way do you want to do it?
Before we get before I get to it, because we'll probably talk over the actual conversation that these two are about to have.
Yes.
Is Sean Pertwee's reference here to an American show, Gotham?
Is it?
Gotham.
Yes.
He is referring to.
Yes.
Okay. Because I know this was filmed just before Gotham release, so I wasn't sure if this was his way of saying, I'm going to be in something soon.
I obviously at the time didn't pick up on the reference. But watching it back now,
you wouldn't have, because Gotham wasn't out yet.
No, but as in, I didn't twig that he was plugging a show at the time. It didn't even occur to me. But watching it back, that was the first thing that dropped in my head, was he's plugging Gotham. He's teasing Gotham. Mm.
Okay.
Right. Are we all keyed up? Are we all ready?
Yeah, absolutely for this. Absolutely.
This is going to be so much fun. Right then, dear listener. Like I said, we'll have...
Oh, my God, this is going to be the first half an hour of this podcast, where we are talking about the episode and listening. This is going to be wonderful.
It's going to be weird. I won't know what... I honestly don't know what to do with myself. This is going to be... the link will be up on our Facebook page. We'll put it out on Twitter. And this is the Five-ish Doctors, starting in 3, 2, 1, and play.
Imagine you were that cyclist or that guy walking behind right there, and you managed to get to the 50th without even realising it.
That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? That's. I mean, I'd say that's a thing to tell your friends, but you probably still don't know you did it.
Yeah, if you weren't a fan, just never know.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you didn't actually know when it was being filmed.
Imagine if you actively hated the show.
In that case, you're probably a fan.
Love this line. are you going to tag a certain comedian in this again,
Tom? Which particular comedian would that be?
Particular Olivia Colman hating comedian.
I think it would be rude not to, although at the moment she won't see it because she's on another Facebook break, having had another argument with more gammons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's in for the fortnight stint this time round.
Oh, okay, I missed that.
I only found out because Joe Caulfield put a happy birthday message up.
Oh, and it said if you can see this.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I did see.
Sorry, I'm just actually genuinely just watching this. I'm not going to get into
it. Yeah, no, it's fine. So... Bear in mind how little he is in this episode. It is nice that Paul McGann got credited.
Mm. Absolutely. I also like, and I remember thinking this at the time, and then I forgot again, and then I liked it again, and then I forgot again, that it's written and directed by one of the Doctors.
Yeah.
Which is just, I think...
Hang on, all of them then, surely?
Well, by default, yes. But I think that's kind of... why this is just so good, because it feels so loved.
Mm.
This isn't just some throwaway parody thing. This is done with interest and passion and wanting to do something for the fans. That's why they're doing it for the fans.
You haven't changed a bit. They weren't alive when you were the Doctor.
I mean, that, the other question I do have is, were they actually his kids?
Yes.
I just love the fact that it's Tegan that comes out and tells him that there's no chance he's going to be in it.
Because the reason I obviously ask is they're a lot that's younger than the other one.
Oh, that dog. I love the Hobbit t-shirt.
I know, it's so cool, isn't it?
And the references, I love it.
And the fact that Colin Baker is reading that magazine.
That's a shitty fruit bowl.
Yeah, but then, you know, he's on set at that point, so, you know, he doesn't get the best fruit in his caravan. I'm guessing, of course, she was actually at that point.
She was. Say that again.
I'm guessing she was actually pregnant at that point.
I think she was.
Yeah, she was.
She would have been, wouldn't she?
Hence,
yeah.
Hence the joke. Yeah.
Which I don't think I got that first time round. I only recently, I'm rewatching.
Yeah, no, I remember that she was at that point with Tim's child. So.
Does that make that child half time lord?
All time lord, surely.
Why am I now staring at the corner of John's mug?
At least three quarters. No, no time lord.
Has Morgan seen this?
Sorry, what?
Has Morgan seen this before?
She hasn't.
Oh, okay.
And she's not watching it this time either. She went and made a cup of tea. Because it doesn't have subtitles and we can't find her connector, and I want to hear the episode, I basically
cleared her out.
Buggering off. Told her it wasn't very good. I will actually, you know, I'm going to make a point of watching it with her sometime this week because I think she'll like it.
I think it'd be a nice introduction to the older doctors for her as well.
Because it does. What they look like now.
Well, it does show them in a more fun light than perhaps they got a chance to be in the episodes themselves.
That's true.
I love the windowsill there.
I love this.
I kind of like the fact that he's able. Well, actually. That they're both able to laugh at themselves, which will obviously get into. I'm also assuming that is Mrs. B. I mean, this is the other thing. That, as a running joke, is just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Especially what they do with it. It's really hard not to sort of run ahead with this, isn't it?
Absolutely. But I tend to do that when we're watching anything. I'm always concerned about spoilers going, oh, but we'll find
it. Yeah. I mean, you realise that some of these ideas probably do get nicked by Big Finish.
Steve Moffat in the back of a car.
I've got that game, by the way.
Well, Steve Moffat in the back of a car.
Yeah, that's a very good game. I need to dig that out and play that more. In fact, I've got a week off coming up. That may possibly kill an entire week. I mean, they really did manage to shoehorn in just about everybody they could, didn't they?
So many little canards.
We were literally talking about that a couple of weeks ago, weren't we?
Yeah.
About the swirling heads. Die, Doctor!
Oh, my favourite bit's coming up now. Not immediately, but in about 5 minutes. We regular listeners will spot we spoil.
I love the fact they're all sitting together and Paul McCann's late on his own.
I'm still looking. Paul McCann, I know this is obviously filmed at the same time as Night of the Doctor. Paul McCann aged fantastically.
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, this is 17 years after the TV movie.
Yeah. Aged fantastically.
Yeah.
Like 7 years after the end of Doctor Who, Sylvester McCoy's official run before the film, he's aged 20 years.
Yep.
Colin Baker has looked like that since the mid-90s, and Peter Davison just looks like Peter Davison just grew out of his skin.
I mean, retirement suited Colin Baker well, didn't it? Here we go.
I do love it when Doctor Who throws some shade at itself.
Yeah. It's just weird because I've just realised that he doesn't actually, and he doesn't appear again, does he?
No, that's it.
Presumably he was off filming something important for TV.
I mean, they didn't realise how shit The Hobbit was going to be at this point, did they?
No, it was supposed to be the next big, brilliant, as good as Lord of the Rings blockbuster.
Yeah. I do love that you can tell that this is their real families just by how atrocious the acting is.
Yes. But it's making Colin look really good. And he's wearing Crocs. I missed that he was wearing Crocs. Mobile phones have changed a bit, haven't they?
They have. I know, I mean, this was only 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know the fact that Sylvester McCoy has had a Nokia 3310 since 1998 and it's the same one?
He wants to stay off the grid.
Well, that he didn't risk changing his number because no one calls him at the best of times. I mean, that was a weird bit of casting as well. How did he get the Hobbit gig? Did he just happen to be on holiday in New Zealand at the time?
I'm sure.
We need a Scottish actor.
I think Peter Jackson actually wanted him in the original Lord of the Rings trilogy, did he not? I'm sure he was.
Surely Ian Holm was first choice.
Petitioned, that's what I'm looking for.
Oh, okay. I'm just imagining Sylvester McCoy as Gandalf.
Oh, that would have been amazing. Would have changed the film.
It would have been far more Eric Idle's Rincewind in the Discworld games.
It really would, yes. Can you imagine Sylvester McCoy delivering the line to the Balrog? No, you're not getting. No, you're not passing. No. I like the twist of the next bit as well. And again, it's that laugh, being able to throw shade and laugh at yourself.
Ha, 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 ha.
missed it. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten this was a thing.
Yep. Because the thing is, at that point, part of my brain was trying to second guess which famous star was in the car, and I didn't get that that was what the gag they were going to pull.
My ex had both John Barrowman CDs that were released by 2011, and this was every single fucking car journey. Well, that's not there anymore.
No. I'm glad I got to go there while it was still a thing.
I went twice, but only the last time I went was after the, well, in 2007, 2008, and they hadn't added too much from Series 4 by the time I went the second time. I'm really disappointed I didn't go again before it closed.
When did I go? I went in 2016, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
must have been four by then. It just seemed like every year they would knock back another wall and add another compartment for the new Doctor, and then shuffle things around. That's how they did it.
Yeah,
like it would get slightly bigger each time.
Which I guess was kind of the attraction of the venue they had for it, wasn't it? Because it was very expandable.
Exactly. Talking about expandable,
how's Colin Baker? Apologies if you're listening, Colin. I love your work, especially the stuff you've done for Big Finish.
Is he one of the many actual proper Big Finish people?
Yeah.
Has he not done the most?
He must have done pretty close to the most. They've definitely done the Sixth Doctor justice with Big Finish. He's probably one of my favourite Big Finish doctors.
I thought he'd done the most of them.
Yeah, possibly has.
So what was he doing at this point, career-wise? Is this Broadchurchy time, or...?
Broadchurch Series 2 gets mentioned at the...
beginning?
Start of the episode.
Yeah, that's it.
It's one of the... little references made by Olivia Colman at the start.
That's it. I was trying to second guess his haircut at that point. Here we go. I mean, again, is that just being able to take the piss out of yourself that I think is just what makes this so lovely?
I love that line because I think it's a direct reference back to Davison in Time Crash with that whole conversation with Tennant about you're a fan.
Yes.
I think it's a direct callback to that.
Yeah, I think it is, isn't it?
None of them have lost it.
No.
They still are the Doctor. Each one of them is still a Doctor.
Yeah, and uniquely Doctor-y in their own way, as they were at the time.
To be fair, they've never really left the role.
No,
you know, it's part of the convention.
I don't know how he's coming across in Big Finish, but I Christopher Eccleston just doesn't seem like he would be able to come back into the role.
Yeah, well, we won't find out till April.
Is it April next month? Okay.
You see, that spinny TARDIS-y bit is better than it was in the episode of Doctor Who I referenced it. I stand by that, even though I'm sitting down.
You're absolutely right in what you say, though, Laura. Out of everybody that's ever been in the role, I think, you know, he's the one that you think, even though I enjoyed the season he was in, I just don't know if he'd be able to recap.
Just randomly drop back into it.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen the Tennant can. It seems a bit weird, and we'll come to this. We'll come to this when we get to the 50th.
Yeah.
But every single... Like, they are playing caricatures of themselves with, like, 50-50 with their Doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, can it be part of Eccleston's problem is that he wasn't in it long enough?
Well, Paul McGann still managed it.
Yeah.
Paul McGann just managed to drop straight back into the role, and it was only a 7-minute episode, but it was straight back in.
But he had been doing other stuff as the Doctor away, so he never really left the role.
He still managed it. Then.
Yeah, yeah, no, but fair
that,
point.
That basically just confirmed what we're saying.
Yeah.
I think Matt Smith, even though he's not had a kind of chance for a return yet, I think Matt Smith could fall back into the role quite easily.
I don't know. I'm worried about that. Capaldi, definitely yes. Smith, yes. I'm not sure. Because I've seen everything that Smith has done since and it's been terrible.
I have questions at this point.
Oh, God, I thought Frank Skinner's rendered me in this.
Yeah. Why? And, of course, I know why he is. The guy in the middle is Tony Archer.
Hmm.
Or, put it another way, the son of number two.
Mm.
But who's the other guy?
Was that not Nicholas Briggs, who's the voice of the Daleks?
Ah. If you say so. Unsurprisingly, I haven't seen his face in a while, so I can't tell you. I'll have to check the credits.
Mm. Imagine if one of the producers on Doctor Who, the 50th, had that much power to be that much of an arsehole to extras.
But why, or rather, how did Frank Skinner get involved?
I don't know.
Frank Skinner was a fan.
I was about to say this because the.
I suppose this is better for Frank Skinner to be in this and like polluting an episode like Rufus Hound did as a fan.
Yes. Is Frank Skinner not in another episode? Is he not actually in Doctor Who?
Because
he's also... I've just remembered. He's in one of the extras on the Season 8 Blu-ray.
Well, yeah, he's in Mummy on the Orient Express.
No, but he does an interview... He does an interview with someone on one of the discs of the new Season 8 Blu-ray. Because I looked at that and thought, why is Frank Skinner doing that? But of course, this Mummy on the Orient Express, it all kind of ties in.
I hate to say this because it feels like I'm cutting on a bit, but he's also done some stuff for Big Finish.
Has he?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, I didn't know.
So he's actually more canon than we think he is.
Yep. whereas, off the top of my head, I can't actually think of any Doctor Who stuff he's done for Big Finish, but I'm sure he has, but he's done some non-Doctor Big Finny stuff.
Ah, mm-hmm. Well, that would get him in through the door, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And if that was Nicholas Briggs, who I wasn't paying attention when he came back on screen again, Nicholas Briggs is also the kind of, one of the head honchos in Big Finny. He's the kind of creative. So
I did not know that.
What's his name? The one that did the book with Russell Davis. What's his name?
Oh.
Ben. I've met him and I can't think what his bloody name is.
Of course, I've got the book, but it's
he did the tour with RTD. I'm surprised that he's not in this because they made a massive thing about when Dave's book came out that he was basically in charge at that point of Doctor Who magazine.
Yes. That's right.
But I'm surprised that he's not in this because you would have thought he would have got at least a background role. Maybe he is.
The kind of symbiosis between Russell T. Davis and Doctor Who magazine, which was then continued through Stephen Moffat's tenure to a lesser extent, I would say, was just astounding. It worked really well. That was one of the best times to be reading Doctor Who magazine, in my opinion, was during the Russell T. Davis era. Stephen Moffat did a kind of open letter from the creator type thing every month, but it wasn't as kind of massive as the input that Russell T. Davis was. Even now, you still get the occasional Russell T. Davis interview. And Chibnall does pretty much.
Well, you're still gonna get Russell T. Davis interviews in Doctor Who magazine till the end of time.
Yeah.
Whenever that may be.
It was
about 13 years ago.
I mean, I'm guessing the guy you're talking about, the guy you're talking about, could be one of those two security guards.
Mm.
This is the other thing I like about this. In half an hour, they pack in a lot of in jokes, a lot of references.
They pack in a story.
Yeah, and there's high points all the way through.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Because there's another high point coming up.
Uh-huh.
That was another thing I didn't see coming. And it's just all the way through, they just put little layers and new twists. They craft it so well.
Well, this I watch this after the 50th, and it works better if you watch it after the 50th.
So why are we watching it now?
Because of the McGann part, so we can watch this and then see where...
That's it. Yeah. That makes sense.
And because the 50th in its own right is about 75 minutes long, just seemed like a... She's so good, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm actually amazed that Russell did this, because this is when he stepped back from everything to look after his partner.
That's right, yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. Maybe that kind of is...
It was part of the reason, I think, why he quit Who in the first place.
But then I guess it's only
progressively more and more ill.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's only a sort of 2-3 minute bit. So he could probably just film that at home quickly and then it wouldn't take much.
But he's still got the same amount of energy that he had during Doctor Who Confidential during the early years.
Yeah. I think he's...
the same kind of enthusiasm for the product.
I think he was always going to have... He was arguably the biggest fan out of the three showrunners, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Well, in terms of enthusiasm for... the product.
In terms of natural enthusiasm, but I would argue yes. Moffat's the biggest fan of the three of them.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But I think it feels like Dave's infused more about
just
it.
Has fucking personality, and that's.
Yeah.
I think one of Stephen Moffat's biggest problems was the fact that he couldn't leave, the fact he was a massive fan at the door sometimes. Mm. And I think Russell T. Davis was a big fan and then did, but I think sometimes Stephen Moffat tried to be a wee bit more kind of geeky about it.
Yeah.
I'm looking for Benz. I saw Bruno. I thought it was Bruno Langley. Ben Cook isn't in it.
Wow.
That surprises me.
I didn't even know Nicholas Pegg was in it. Did you know there was a controversy with Nicholas Pegg?
Was there?
Nicholas Pegg was one of the contributors to Doctor Who magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And he wrote something quite rude about the BBC in the magazine.
Oops.
If you took the first letter of every paragraph of what he was saying.
One of those ones.
Basically excommunicated. I think it was after this. He'd get excommunicated from the BBC. And also lost his job at Doctor Who magazine, I believe.
Wonderful.
But yeah, this bit as well. Oh man, it's great.
It's so well done.
I mean, I'd argue actually it works.
Jameson in a showrunner.
It works before the 50th as well.
Reduce the episodes to half an hour.
Yep.
And get Peter Davison in a showrunner.
That would be so good.
And they can all be like this.
The thing is, every week it would be like all 17 doctors. I'd forgotten as well that Georgia actually produced it.
I didn't know that until that just came up.
No. Well, there we go. That was so much fun. It almost feels like a treat at the end of term.
I've enjoyed both episodes so much. Yeah. So much. It's such a contrast to the rest of the series.
Oh, it's superb. I mean, they ought to do one of those at the end of every series, so everyone who just moaned and complained their way through it can relax for half an hour and have fun.
That would be pretty cool.
Oh, God, can you imagine? Just a little parody of how the series was. Oh,
that'd be absolutely brilliant, wouldn't it? It'd be absolutely great.
Series 8 would literally be Michelle Gomez just pissing about for half an hour, and I would love it.
Honestly,
it could easily happen.
Yeah, but you'd watch half an hour of Michelle Gomez just girding and spinning umbrellas and being an absolute arse for over most of that series. It'd be great. Right. So there we are. That is Name the Doctor, followed by The Five-ish Doctors. And yeah. I think we can easily say we have gone from one extreme to the other in one simple podcast.
For sure. And I'm about to log off and do something else Doctor Who related now. So.
Ooh. But hang on, whoa. Without us?
Without you.
How does that work?
I think you're getting sued now for.
I'll try and mention the podcast.
Oh, that's very big of you. How kind.
Double our listeners.
If you could, I like the fact that I mentioned it while chatting to someone earlier who I've known for a while, and the message goes, "I'm podcasting later." The message comes back, "Podcast?" ? It's like. I've only been talking about this for two or three times a week since April last year, and now just no one listen. Anyway, John's going to go and do a thing. I'm going to either watch Unforgotten, which got banned from yesterday. Thanks, Megan. Which seems to be, everything's her fault, so I just thought I'd hop on that bandwagon. Or I'm going to watch Snowpiercer. In the meantime, over there has been John and no longer Morgan.
Bye.
Over that side has been the lovely Laura. And I've been Con Johnson, your host and Con Bear for the evening. And that has been more fun than it had any right to be. That was fantastic. So we shall catch you next time. Bye.
Ciao.